do it live.
Booyah.
Touch it.
Touch it.
Give mind to things you've tried. I'm the one that can satisfy you.
Damn it. Wait, what's the episode number again?
339.
Okay. Welcome to Notcast, episode 339, a unanimous fuck you.
I'm Severin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And we are here back at Notcast Towers for yet another magnificent week.
Broadcasting live from Big Red Cup Studios.
Yep. 52 ounces of goodness. It's Pepsi Max.
Ah.
And Coke Zero mixed. I'm a fucking...
You should be like bouncing off the walls and shit.
I'm not.
Do like a couple of shots of Mountain Dew in there just to spice it up.
Just to fucking spice it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get some of Guardian's coffee vodka. Remember the year he made that for us?
Yes. Yeah.
So Guardian, local dude, if you guys go to Fiesta, you probably know who he is, but it doesn't matter. He one year made a bunch of vodka and infused vodka for us. And it's vodka. It keeps forever. And I recently discovered in the back of my fridge.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, it's alcohol. There's I know. Nothing, I didn't, there's I didn't no know medium you, for.
I didn't know you still had some. That's
no,
funny.
And I rediscovered the coffee vodka because this year's birthday beer from Shiner is a cold brew coffee beer, which is amazing. Which, if you don't like beer, that doesn't mean anything to you. But Chameleon Cold Brew Coffee, I don't know if they're local or what, but it's a cold brew coffee thing you can buy. You can buy it concentrate. You can buy it, like, in bottles. You can get it at Target. But they work with Shiner, which is a Texas Pacific brewery, and that's their birthday beer. They do one special beer each year around this time because it's the 108th year that Shiner Brewery has been a thing.
Oh.
So their birthday beer is always really good. Also, their holiday is usually really good. Actually, Shiner in general is pretty good.
Didn't they do some weird eggnog or pumpkin spice thing or something for one year?
I had Lakewood. No, it wasn't Lakewood. But there was one this year called Pumpking, which was pumpkin spice beer, which was actually really good.
Huh.
But yeah, it's a. But anyways, going back to the vodka.
Yes.
Coffee vodka. And so basically, he put instant coffee into vodka instead of water. Shake that bitch up. It is coffee vodka. It'll wake you up and get you drunk. And it's efficient.
I just remembered a bacon vodka.
Yeah, that got thrown out a long time ago.
One of our friends described it as it tastes like a shot of breakfast.
Yeah. It's not what you'd expect, really.
Tyrion noped out of the... I don't even think he tried it. He was just like, nope. Nope, nope.
I drank a bottle of it and then I threw that away because it does have biological stuff in it that could like grow something in theory, but it also wasn't that great.
I noped out of the pepper.
The pepper's all right. You could use that in cooking.
Yeah, I heard it was good for cooking.
You could use some pasta or some pasta sauce. Be good.
One of them was a fruit though, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I
don't think he made a fruit one, but I could look in the fridge, but I'd have to pause and go look.
Nah. All right.
So
how much do you have left then? Do you have more than just the coffee?
One bottle of each.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, neat.
It's like it'd been in my fridge for a freezer for a long time. And I very, very rarely drink solo.
Yeah.
But that's changed in the last month or two.
Oh. No.
It's like, the unbearable bullshit of existence at this point in time. Help me, Shiner Bock.
The unbearable orangeness of being.
Yeah. Well, at least papaya Pinochet got told no today.
Yeah.
So fuck him.
Quivering fuck trumpet.
Yes. Oh, what was that fun list of Scottish terms that I reblogged?
Fucking weapon.
Let's pull it up because this is worth sharing. This can be our dumpster fire chat of the week.
Dumpster fire chat.
As opposed to fireside chat.
Right, yeah.
So, the...
Someone called him a fascist, loofah-faced shit gibbon.
Nice. Then there's Cheeto Benito.
Yeah.
But there was this really great list of... going to my Tumblr.com.
Mm-hmm. So while Saverin looks, what we're referencing in the title of this episode and what we're discussing now is Trump's Muslim ban executive order went before the appellate court, Ninth Circuit, and we're a panel of three judges who were appointed by presidents Carter, W. Bush, and Obama. So a broad ideological spectrum there. Just all three of them said, no, you can't fucking do this, and shot it down. And Trump responded by making an all caps tweet saying, they'll see him in court. And
like, you've already been seen in the court twice.
Right. Yeah, no. Go to the Supreme Court, and that'll be interesting. But I've seen a couple of amusing comments on that. Like, somebody, like, had posted a quote attributed to judges. Oh, no, not court. Yeah. They're like, wait, like, we saw you in court already. That's literally what just happened.
And even Hillary's gotten in on it.
She's 3-0. Yeah, yeah.
So here's the found the list, right?
Okay.
Shit pouch. A hopeless sack of shit. Ball bag. Scott slang for scrotum, a stupid or annoying person. Toss pot. Twat face. Noun, a proper dickhead.
Yes.
Wazok, northern slang for idiot. Fuckwit, which is a good word by itself.
It is, yes.
Come on, Tumblr. Wank stain. Cockwomble. A useless, bumbling fuckwit. Jibbind. A contemptible fool. Piss stain. Worthless wretch. Spunk trumpet. Slang for penis. An absolute wanker. Arse badger. A painful shit of a person. Fanny flaps. Cunt puddle. An unfailing bastard, similar to wank stain. Oh, shit. Cunty bollocks. Absolute bastard of a cunt. Fuck-a-dee-bye. Fuck off. Fuck nugget. A proper fucking weasel. Jizzmonger. A semen-drinking wanker. And is that the last one? That is the last one. So, thank you, Scotland. That is, I hope we have enlightened your vocabulary.
Ah, my people.
Oh. Yeah, shit pouch, ball bag, toss pot, twat face, wazuk, fuckwit, wank stain, cockwomble, jebbin, piss stain, spunk trumpet, arse badger, fanny flaps, cunt puddle, cunty bollocks, fuckity bye, fuck nugget, and jizzmonger. Ah, and someone replies, ah, look, it's my entire vocabulary.
Yes.
So, in non-political things, I played the fucking weirdest game today.
Oh.
So I got given code for a game called Don't
Open... Does it involve you lying under a glass table? Or...
No. That doesn't sound very fun. This is a video game.
Oh, okay.
It's a Russian-made game called Don't Open the Doors. The thing is, it's made out of... It's done in claymation. The entire game is done... Like, with motion capture from claymation.
It's like Wallace and Gromit meets Saw?
No.
Oh, okay. No.
And what's weird is because it was all translated from Russian, the English is really, really bad.
Oh.
They try to be funny and random,
mm-hmm.
but it's like a Russian style of humor, which involves lots of gulags. No. It's this weird-ass game. It's like $8, and I got code for it. I'm just like... I'm just going to record the first 20 minutes or so, get to a stopping point and be like, here you go.
Because
it's just a weird game. Like, I can truly appreciate the amount of work that went into the game.
Yeah.
Because it's made by, like, one dude.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Claymation? Jesus.
Yeah. And it's, like, made from thousands of photos. Like, everything in the game is claymation. Each tile of the world is a tactile clay. The water.
And you know he did it in actual claymation? He didn't CG it?
Yeah. There's like, there's photos, like one of the videos, like on the Steam page,
Jesus. Or it
actually has, like, show him taking photos of all the little dudes. And it's very obviously claymation.
That is a shitload of work.
And, like, the little trees are clay, the plants are clay, the flowers are clay, the bugs are clay. The health bars, when you hit enemies that have more than one hit point, are also made of clay. Like, the amount of work that went into this little weird-ass Russian indie game is super impressive.
Wow.
It's not great. But again, it's one of those single dude did it, claymation. Like, the amount of work that had to go into this is super impressive.
Wow.
And like, I need to go further on it and just kind of go play a little bit more. But it's super out there. And you've got like talking mushrooms and talking hedgehogs. Everything in the world can talk. It's this weird cartoon world. And one of the characters is like, why do you like gold coins so much? Like, it's the only thing in this damn world that doesn't talk. That's true. Because, like,
if someone said that in real life, you'd be like, back away slowly, don't make eye contact.
It'd be like that classic image, like, note to self, take meds, and like they're sitting in front of their breakfast and everything has eyes. The bread, the glass of milk, the Cheerios in the bowl, oh, the bacon. Let me find that image. But it was a very interesting game that I've had sitting on my queue that I needed to work on.
I have the sudden urge to, like, put googly eyes on everything in the fridge and then just wait to hear, like, Tyrion raging.
Yes, note to self, take meds. The pancakes have eyes. The butter has eyes. The coffee, the syrup has two eyes. The milk, the egg, the salt. The fork and knife do not, but many of the Cheerios do. If you'd like to see this image for yourself, just Google note to self, take meds. It's like the first image. Thanks, Google.
So I had to a couple people were talking on Twitter today about one guy was like, whenever somebody is like, I'm not a furry, I think, no. And somebody replied, well, it's like a self-identifying thing. And so, of course, I had to reply with the comic of the guy slowly
turning into.
So, of course, you could find that real easy on Google Images. You just search for I'm not a furry meme. And it was the first fucking result.
I made a comic video of that.
Oh.
And it did all right. But yeah, because it's just slowly the.
Yes.
The tear.
Yeah.
So, relating to furry adjacent things, at least, the PonyCon community has been rocked with the notion. has been not rocked with the notion.
Not do that. You showed me that. I ended up watching like a half dozen of those recap really videos. Funny, right? They're really good.
So we'll explain what that is in a second. So BronyCon has basically said, yeah, we're gonna just expand ourselves a little bit and include non-pony things. Which
I've been expanding myself for years.
I know, right? Well, I retracted.
You've been
bit.
Contracting yourself.
Yeah, yeah. But
you've had contractions.
Oh, no.
Any day now. Like, I hear you drop a glass in the kitchen. I'm like, did your water break?
That would be bad. I don't have that many glass cups. Anyways.
I didn't know plastic could shatter like that.
But BronyCon's trying to expand their things a little bit. And the community has done. I hear you, BronyCon. But over it.
Yeah.
It's impressive how nativist these people can be.
Mm.
Like obviously it's reading the comments thread, and there are people that are like, okay. And then there's people like, I will never go to this convention again. Ah! With people basically,
this is the beginning of the end.
And one of the things I tweeted that was like, someone's like, well, you know, expanding is okay, but if they start inviting furries, I'm out. And I'm like, oh, child.
Should we tell them?
It's been impressive because it's not just like Equestria Daily. It's also on Twitter. It's also on their own fucking message board. People are flipping their shit.
Wow.
It's impressive how bad this is. And it's just like, there's people like, I don't like Sonic or Steven Universe. I only want ponies. I only come to an event for ponies. And I'm like,
I don't want to see those normal people.
Do you not go to any other like general fandomish events? Do you not go to Comic Cons or don't. Anime Cons?
Because it's funny, because I read some of the comments, and like some of them are like, well, this is just like, and somebody was like, well, maybe they should have more Western animation stuff, because like there's not really a venue for that. And somebody was like, except for all the fucking Comic Cons. And the guy's like, oh, I've never heard of those. Yeah. And it's just like, yeah. So I guess maybe for a lot of them, Pony was their first fandom, and they don't really know shit about like the sci-fi community and the comic community and stuff like that, but a lot of them just don't know that there are other general media conventions out there.
I will say that a lot of people that like that Pony was their first fandom is that they're still really young.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I first, okay, like me personally, I've been going to various conventions since I was 15.
Yeah.
So like I was lucky and that my parents would let me go and do things like that. Like, my first convention, my first, like, major nerd convention was Akon. Like, the 1 year they were off of 75 and 635 over there. They were there year one year. That was enough.
So, would you say, like, anime is your first fandom?
Yeah. In as much as that was the first event that I went to. But that was also, like I went to my first furrycon was Anthrocon 2004.
Yeah.
Which, that was quite the trip. That was an adventure.
My first fandom was probably Star Trek.
But, like, prior to that, I'd been to multiple, like, Scarboroughs. Mm-hmm. And, what was it, Hawkwood? Oh, that was before your time. That was before you lived here.
Yeah.
There used to be a much smaller Ren Fair that was up north on 35, north where the juncture, kind of near Denton.
Okay.
That got eaten up by the tollway. Or not tollway, not tollway. The racetrack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like right over there, and then like it shut down because it was just small,
right?
And that area got developed into a bunch of fancy ass homes, and it's now it's by the raceway.
Oh, okay.
I was like, those two were my first like nerdy fandom things, but I knew furries. I knew Guardian back when I was like 15, 16. Which is crazy.
I knew of furries, but I totally wasn't a furry.
Oh no. I was totally a furry. I was like, these animal people speak to me.
Yes. I found my tribe.
I was browsing VCL and Miiverse and finding all the weird furry stories. Yeah. And I'm sure I probably read the Trevor's stories if you had the post around that wondering. Time. Hey, oh, yeah. Odds are, like, when I do have that copy of Trevor's Tricks on my shelf out there.
It's true.
And I was like, I probably read these at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a horny teenager. But it's interesting that, like, these kids are going to have to be forced out of their shell. And BronyCon's pretty much right. They have to evolve or die.
Mm.
But
like a Pokemon.
Their difficulty is that they're also the same weekend as Otakon this year.
Yeah, that's a really bad move.
Well, that's the thing. Otakon, their dates, they picked their dates after BronyCon did. Because Otakon moved from Baltimore to D.C.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, it's on the same weekend, and the distance between D.C. and Baltimore is about the distance between Dallas and Fort Worth.
Yeah.
So they're literally going to cannibalize each other, but one is way, 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 way bigger than the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Otakon.
Well, it's kind of like what happened with that Dallas Comic Con that was in the same day, same weekend as Akon.
Yeah.
They didn't do so hot, turns out.
Hmm.
Akon still grew.
Yeah.
Which is why they had to move hotels, because they were outcapacitating that place by like 15%.
Is Akon still at the Anatole, or did it?
No, they moved to Fort Worth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they outgrew everything.
Are they in the Fort Worth Convention Center then? Oh, okay.
Fort Worth Convention Center, because the south end of downtown has seen a lot of renovation and rehabilitation in the last little bit.
Yeah.
See, if Fort Worth has been reaching out to grab a lot of events and stuff.
Oh.
And so, and because the people NIMBYed the fuck up when it comes to the revitalization of the Dallas Convention Center, they were going to build a bunch of hotels around the new renovation of the Dallas Convention Center. People said, nuh-uh. And so they got a bunch of useless-ass old buildings down there instead of a bunch of new hotels.
Mm.
And so the Omni is the only hotel down there, which is way smaller than, like, the Adams Mark or whatever where Anime Fest is, where Akon used to be.
Sheraton.
Sheraton.
Yeah, the downtown so Sheraton.
So basically, they were like, fuck.
What? So in terms of, like, actual sleeping rooms, the Omni by the convention center is smaller than the downtown Sheraton?
I think so.
Shit. That's not good for... I mean, they wanted to build more for the convention center, but part of it was, like, it was up to voters.
Yeah.
To approve the bond for it or something.
Yeah,
there were some interesting points about that, because, like, they're also saying that apparently Dallas has, like, more hotel sleeping rooms than, like, any other major metropolitan area. Like, we just have a fuckload of hotels.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of pushback from the hospitality industry saying that if you put, like, two or three big-ass hotels down at a convention center, it's going to fuck over all these other hotels. But at the same time, it's like it's a convention center that has one hotel servicing it. That's not really ideal for it, because they poured a ton of money into building that convention center.
I think the Omni only has, like, 1,500 rooms.
Yeah.
And for a convention of 35,000 people, that ain't nowhere near enough. And there's not other places nearby, nor does the train go there.
No, the train does go there.
The train goes there?
There's a convention center station, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I was wrong on that point. But basically, Fort Worth has got, like, hey, we've got all these fucking hotel things. We've got a bunch of new hotels that were added. We've revitalized our convention center. It's got almost, like, 250,000 square foot of space.
Shit. I don't want them eating our lunch.
Because,
like, downtown Dallas has been really sort of recovering in the last 5-10 years.
Yeah. Well, this is basically Fort Worth getting to be like, hey, big ass events.
Yeah.
Well, Fort Worth already has a bunch of shit at, like, the Roy Rogers Center. There's I forget what it's called. It's by the
Stockyards?
Not the Stockyards. Okay. It's over by Universe, by the Botanic Gardens and all that shit.
Oh.
Where the Stock Show and Rodeo's at. Anyways, it's a large, it's primarily, like, for stock shows and shit, but also they've had big events there in the past. Boy Scouts used to have things. There's boat shows, gun shows, show shows, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, that has been hosting stuff on that side of town. Mm-hmm. But the Fort Worth Convention Center, like, it's fucking huge, and it's been recently renovated, and so there's going to be eating the biggest possible events.
Mm-hmm. Even the smaller ones, actually. Remember the con we did last year, Con DFW?
Uh-huh.
The sci-fi writing con. That's in Fort Worth this year.
Hmm.
And the way they advertised it was, we're going to finally put the FW in Con DFW, because it was Con DFW, but it's always been in Dallas.
Yeah.
Or surrounding areas. And I'm like, consequently, I'm like, okay, it was a neat con. And
it was tiny.
And it was interesting for me to pop in when it's like a 10-minute drive from my house. But I'm not going to drive like an hour to get to Fort Worth. And
nah. Well, like, the south end of Fort Worth, there actually are some decent restaurants down there. A lot more sit-down type stuff. But you can, if you have a vehicle, you can go a little bit out. There's not, like, a Walmart or anything nearby, close by. But if you get an Uber, there's stuff. But it has some really great spots. You know how there's the park and stuff by Bryan Tower or whatever underneath there where people do photo shoots? Well, they can do photo shoots at the water gardens.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's true, yeah. I remember around A-Fest when Akon used to be down there, you'd see a lot of people down there with the statues and stuff.
The TRE is going to run that on the weekend, on Sunday for them.
Oh, that's good. Usually it doesn't run on Sunday.
Yeah, that's cool. Like a city-level thing where they're like, yeah, well...
Yeah, and that's like, it's really interesting when you hear about shit like that, where, like, the city is actually getting directly involved in a, hey, we want an event, and what do we need to do to work with you? Well, your train not running is inconvenient. Okay, we'll fix that.
Think of it this way. Akon has 35,000 attendees.
Yeah.
And that's parking, that's driving, that's eating in the restaurants.
Yeah.
That's sleeping in hotel rooms. That's a fuckload of money that, A, the Anatole's not getting this year, and the city of Dallas ain't seeing either. They outgrew it. They were like breaking fire code almost.
Wow.
Was pretty much it.
They'd only been at the Anatole for what, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah. But the anime market, it's one of those things. There's never been a better time to be an anime fan. Mm-hmm. There's lots and lots and lots of good shows.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's like some good Western co-production stuff going in. And like the market's seeing a good revitalization. It's probably been a better time than even the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Hmm. Which was like people regard as the heyday of anime because it was all in Toonami and shit. But nowadays it's all on Crunchyroll and Amazon's getting in on it. It's on Netflix. Netflix is paying money to get co-pro stuff, co-production. They have like Netflix specific animes like Seven Deadly Sins, which isn't that great a show, but they've greenlit a second season. There's some other stuff that are like Netflix specific animes that Netflix Japan's like, we're going to pay you guys to make this and we're going to put it on our service.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that with Little Witch Academia. So like it's airing week to week on Netflix Japan, but we have to wait over here for the next 3 to 6 months for it to come out, which means I just pirate it and then I'll watch it again when it comes out. It's a service issue. Ah,
yeah.
So who's subbing or dubbing it? Is that fans doing it?
It's fan subs. Yeah.
Mm.
It's a long and storied tradition that has been going on since early 2000s.
So I guess part of the delay is probably them doing a translation.
And probably a dub.
Yeah, you're right. Probably a dub.
Hmm. Now, it'll be interesting if they get the voice actresses to match the characters.
Uh-huh.
So this is where anime talk, guys. Hope you're ready. We went from shitting on the precedent, well, no, the Mr. Unpresidents.
Mm-hmm.
To cons, to now we're talking anime. We're very furry here. that because the show is basically Harry Potter, but cute girls doing cute things, cute witches doing cute things.
Mm-hmm.
It has a very varied cast.
Mm-hmm.
Like the main girl, Akko, she's Japanese, but Latte, Lotte is her name. She's Finnish. Mm-hmm. Susie is Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda is American Irish,
mm-hmm.
like from Brooklyn. And Diana is proper English. And she has her minions, Hannah and Barbara.
Nice.
Yes. So I really wonder if they're going to try to stick to proper ethnicities for the voice actors. That'd be really hilarious.
That would be good, yeah.
They get a Filipino voice actress for Susie. They get a Finnish voice actress for Latte, all that. It'd be great.
Because mm-hmm.
it's basically supposed to be – it's very much a Harry Potter kind of thing. And so like in the show, there's this, a very wide like every skin tone possible has shown up in the show pretty mm-hmm. much. Speaking roles and not. So like it's really, oh God, I love it so much.
It's a rainbow of lesbianism.
No, it's a very pure show.
Oh, this isn't the lesbian one. Okay.
No. This is the Little Witch show, not the lesbian family show.
That's
Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, which is the cutest lesbian family anime ever. I mentioned last week the lesbian family anime.
Mm-hmm.
And God, it's so cute. Because it's like basically this very androgynous off-worker lady who has a dragon who is totally Kobayashi sexual.
Mm-hmm.
She's completely in love with Miss Kobayashi and Kobayashi's okay with that. It's funny because you don't know her real name. She's just referred to as Miss Kobayashi in the anime.
Uh-huh.
And
Maru, that's her name.
Yeah. God damn, Fuzz, that you nerd. Maru Kobayashi, yes, that would that would be very nerdy, but I don't think they're that nerdy. So, but then they introduce Kana, which is this, she's a young dragon. She's only like 1,000, but she got kicked out by her family.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically it becomes, a family can be.
She got kicked out for being a furry.
Actually, she's a fuzzy dragon. So she is a furry dragon.
Oh my God.
Her dragon form has fur and feathers. And so basically it becomes, a family can totally be a woman, her lesbian dragon maid, and their 1,000-year-old midget daughter. But Toru is much, much older in terms of dragons. Like, she's a several thousand years old. It's just completely adorable. It's on Crunchyroll. You fuckers should totally watch it.
Should we explain what the re?
Okay, yes, the re. So this was my reading of, if you've, okay, pause the thing what you're looking at. Unless you start driving a car, then you can't look it up on YouTube because don't do that while driving.
Yeah.
Look up screaming frogs. And it's basically like certain frogs, when threatened, will inflate themselves and basically go scream.
Oh, is that what it's a reference to? Yes. Okay.
Like the original image is used to be that Pepe frog going, ah, wee. Oh. But that was prior to him becoming like a symbol of the hate groups and shit.
Right.
Which the author for that's just like, ah. Yeah. Anyways, so just the whole wee has become like the screaming frog, the screaming anything. So the, hey, Bronycon, I see what you're doing, but wee. There's this guy on YouTube. He does what's called Totally Legit Recaps. And it's basically drunk ass recaps of pony episodes.
Seems like DMK, I think.
Yeah.
Like
and basically, he was going over the end season finale for season 6 of Ponies, where basically Chrysalis gets her ass kicked and Starlight extends the hoof of friendship. It's like, hey, you know, you don't have to like kill yourself or anything. You could learn to be a proper fucking decent character. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I get what you're saying, but and backflips off the mountaintop and flies away. And just, it's fucking hilarious. Yeah. How like she does a little thing in the episode, she just hisses. Uh-huh. But in the
recap,
she's wee! Starlight, I, or like Chrysalis, I, wee! Come on, wee! Listen, wee! God,
that's funny.
And it was just one of those things where it's like, I never look at anything like any of that stuff anymore, but that was like, okay, that's funny. I'll watch that. And then like the recap, the one that like immediately came after one, that one was the episode where Starlight Glimmer like brainwashes the rest of the main 6 while Twilight's out of town to help her work on her friendship homework. And like the has some fun turns of phrase like real hypnotism and stuff like that. The gets to use the piece of cake to break a pretty cake with Lil Jon. Yeah, bitch, gonna see it, pack it up. Bitches get the motherfucker up. It's some quality.
The other part of
it's funny because they're making like they're not bitching about it.
Yeah,
they're explaining it in a funny manner.
Yeah,
in like a third.
Like
of the time.
I love Discord's random freestyle rap in that Chrysalis recap. It's like, yo, it's Discord Kurt here in the house. He had some funny shit there. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's like genuinely funny stuff. Not how dare they do this? This is so out of character. I hate it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes because why the fuck not? So what else, man? Like, we haven't seen. Oh, there was a. There was that article you tweeted yesterday that even furries are helping fight fascism.
Oh, I think I tweeted that this morning, actually.
Oh, yeah. Well, you retweeted it regardless. It was an article in Vox, wasn't it?
Vice. Yes.
One of the
sites.
Yeah, talking about Antifa furs and their Nazi furs fuck off.
Yeah, they're actually specifically talking about the furry raiders and Rocky Mountain FurCon.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
It's like, hey, you motherfuckers need to clean your fucking house up.
Yeah, they were like, the chairman of Rocky Mountain FurCon gave this
very milquetoast answer.
Very well, they said middle of the road, but you could say milquetoast. And I'm like, I would really like them to take a harder stand on it. You know, I don't give a shit if they have like 5 people on their staff or members of this asshole group.
Maybe they should find some new staffers, right?
Yeah, it's not like the fandom is that much short of people.
The conventions need. Okay, I did use that word right. Good. I used the word. I was like, is that the right word? Yes, that's the right word. English! Yay! Is that, what's the origin of that? Is it French? English?
English. It's American now.
It's an Americanism, actually.
Which, what was the word?
Milquetoast.
Oh.
Americanism after Caspar Milquetoast, a character in The Timid Soul, a comic strip by H.T. Webster, born 1885, died 1952.
Wow.
So that's – you learned something new today.
The more you know.
Splort.
Yes.
So, that, I mean, I do think that's it's good that the people are getting better, higher scrutiny on that. It's like,
yeah,
look, come on, y'all.
And it did at least ban the armbands and shit.
Yeah, and you know, I would hope people ain't dumb enough to try that shit at Fiesta. One would hope.
Ideally, if they did, they'd be skull fucked on stage during closing ceremonies.
Yeah, and Path would eat their remains because he's a hyena and does that.
Yes.
Ugh, bitches and whores, man. That's just, it's such a stupid thing.
Yeah.
But,
hey. Just people wanting attention, just immature fuckwits. Look at
me, I'm an attention whore.
Fucking wank stains.
Ball bags.
Cunt flaps.
Nice. Someone retweeted, or someone like quote tweeted that Donald Trump, all caps thing, maybe next time he'll demand a trial by combat. By Crom, Conan yelled.
Occasionally, I don't follow it, but I see it retweeted occasionally. There's the Conan Salaryman Twitter account.
I follow it. Because they do like one tweet a day.
Yeah.
But it's always pretty funny.
Hmm.
It was just announced that Mac Miller's song Donald Trump went platinum. Tell Mac Miller to kiss my ass. Oh, that was from 2013.
Did Trump say that?
Yeah, it was a tweet from 2013, 1,436 days ago.
Wow.
So people are retweeting that.
I love that people are quote retweeting.
Ancient-ass tweets.
Well, the one you retweeted about, you know, could a president be impeached for incompetence?
Let's find out.
Yeah.
Or the guy from Cyanide and Happiness tweets, Trump actually meant to see you on the court because he's the main villain from Space Jam. Jesus.
Yeah. These are... So not this weekend, but next weekend, we got a 3-day weekend.
Hell yeah.
Woo!
Trump calls ruling on travel ban a political decision. No shit.
So, oh, by the way, so Shiva's out this week because she's working on dealer's room stuff for Fiesta.
Yep. She's basically
probably going to be out until after the con.
Yeah, she's con crunching right now, which means she's not going to be available. She'll survive the con and come back like 2 weeks after, probably, depending on how dead she is the Thursday after the con, which is probably going to be fairly.
Yeah. Or if everybody has con crud.
Yeah, I mean, I need to consider what else I need to want to buy for this year or who I need to contact. I actually had an outside group be like, hey, you guys want to pay money to rent a group to come in and run the Vigigame room for Fiesta? I was like, not for this cycle. Because it's like, I don't have
You've already spent money on some stuff, probably. And...
Yeah, it's funny. We're buying Wii U's for use after, like, the Switch comes out. That's like, which means that their prices will probably be lower than when we initially budgeted for them. So that's good.
Yeah.
We're going to be hosting a 2-machine, 8-player plus Smash tournament for charity this year. That was like a big deal people did last year. And we actually budgeted so that the convention will own some consoles. Because, I mean, the Wii U is a sturdy enough system and you don't use it all the damn time. Like most of my consoles live in their boxes from year to year anyway. So, but it's getting to the point, like, I don't own any current consoles. I don't own a PS3, or I own a PS3. I don't have a PS4.
Right.
I don't have an X-Bone. Mm-hmm. And I will totally fucking buy a Switch, provided it's not a piece of shit at launch and available. Mm-hmm. It looks really cool. Like, yeah. I think it's a neat thing. I want to get hands-on with it before I make any decisions. Remember, kids, don't pre-order Vigigames or consoles. Being an early adopter only means you're a beta tester for the next phase.
Sort of like having the Windows version between the good ones.
Yeah. Like 8. And
Vista. ME and Vista. Yes.
Yeah. God, ME was so bad.
Oh, it really was.
I had a friend of mine. His family got a new computer and it was on ME and it was just like, oh.
Yeah. And yeah, like I bought.
Of course, he was also a real dipshit and used Kazaa and had all sorts of questionable things. Viruses.
Well, like I bought a new compact desktop back in the day. And
for those that are very young, Compaq was a computer company that used to sell pre-made computers that you couldn't really upgrade your shit in. That's true. Like Apple.
Yeah, except bad. Like, oh my God, it had a, I think it had a proprietary power supply.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't get like just any old plug to work in it. It had to be that same. You had to have
like hard drives and everything was this proprietary bullshit.
Yeah.
Which. Thankfully, it's not the case anymore.
It was a dark time in home computing. But it came with ME because that was the current OS at the time. And I remember looking on the net and being people were like, is there any way to downgrade back to 98SE?
Yeah.
Because I upgraded it and it sucks.
98SE because ME precursed XP.
Yeah, XP was a godsend when it came out. Usually, I'm not an early adopter. Like, I will usually let things cycle through a bit through, you know, that first service pack at least, kind of hear what people are talking about. But back then, ME just sucked so bad that I was itching to get off of it. So as soon as XP came out, I was fucking on that shit like day one.
Yeah.
And nowadays, I'm like, I don't. Jump on. I mean, because I didn't have Vista. I went from XP to 7, and 7 is still a really solid,
yep,
stable system.
I admit that I took the upgrade when it was offered on boot camp.
Yeah.
So, but like when it came to my new PC, I actually had to buy a license for like the first time in a long time.
Are you using 10 on the new?
Yeah, I'm using 10 Pro on my
PC. I have 10 on the new. All-in-one machine.
It works all right, except for the occasion. Like, I've disabled, like, 90% of the pop-ups, but I still get them occasionally on the X220 right there to your left. I haven't turned them all off yet. It's like, doo-doo-doo. Oh, hey, try Windows. Yeah, try Office 365 for a month. No.
Oh, I guess I don't get that because I have Office 365.
No. It's the little, like, advertising pop-ups from Microsoft's own shit. It's like, come on. I paid money for this. Don't advertise to me.
Yeah.
Tell you what else.
Mm.
Elite Dangerous. Fun.
So that's that space game.
Yep.
Freighter pilot.
Yep.
Which always makes me think of Kismet because that's what the lead character does.
Yeah. It's still like, I don't know. I don't know why it's such, I find it so interesting and compelling.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the whole like, you're given a ship. Told to make your own fucking way. Have fun.
Mm.
And once you get over the learning wall, it's actually real interesting. And like, there's stuff happening in the game, like the alien interdictions. Like, it turned out that I was actually right in the right area to have found an alien artifact and gotten interdicted by an alien and like get that little cutscene thing happen to me.
Cool.
But I then fucked off without it happening. I was like, whoops.
Oh.
basically, like, I went to the Pleiades. It's a group of seven stars in the sky. Mm. That's like, I went to where they are. And I went to one of the seven sisters, Maya. And that's where you can find the artifacts. And when you're fucking around in that section of space, an alien can snatch you out of warp, scan you down, and then be like, huh, you're not what I'm looking for, and fuck off.
Mm.
So
they probe you and they're like, no,
yeah,
you're not right.
Basically, it's the precursor to like shit's about to hit the fan in the game in terms of like there could totally be an alien invasion force or they could be peaceful or they could be off in this section of space that nobody's really gone to. Because it accurately models the entire Milky Way galaxy, you can literally fuck off to the other side of the Milky Way if you wanted to.
Nice.
Like, you can go to Sagittarius A, which is the black hole at the center of the galaxy, or center of the universe, or the galaxy, right? Anyways, so you can literally go that far out. But in this, you know, 3317, I think, is the current year in the universe, humans still haven't spread that far from the core. Like, the population of the universe is only like 6 trillion, and that's across hundreds of populated systems. But you also don't end up with, like, you know, there's not a lot of places near me that have, like, in the billions of people. It's, like, in the millions. And you have, like, some isolated mining systems that, like, their facility only has, like, 3,000.
Yeah.
And that's, like, an outpost's outpost kind of thing. It's, like, this is where we shit. You know? It's, like, what's shithole station? It's where you fill up and take a dump. That's it.
Refill and defill.
Yeah. But that's still been consuming, like, time and... now they're doing their Valentine's Day thing where it's like, we need you to bring items from this place to take it there, and you contribute and you get a bunch of space money.
The love constellation.
Yeah. You're supposed to bring caviar, sweet cream, and strawberries to a particular place.
I put my sweet cream in your mouth.
And it's basically like, yeah, this is a Valentine's Day event. So look, for the Christmas event, you had to take gold, frankincense, and myrrh, basically, right, to North Star Station.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Yeah.
So, you know.
Right on.
They do stuff like that. That's just another thing that's distracting me from the horrifying realities of this world.
Right. So, years ago, Warren Ellis, who is primarily known as a pretty good comic book writer, had made this blog post about a Valentine's Day is actually Horny Werewolf Day. Because something, I can't remember what it is, something to do historically with about the day celebrated werewolves and blood. He's like, so it's really Horny Werewolf Day. And in the theme of that, the person behind the Werewolf News website has created plugins for Chrome and Firefox that will change every reference on the web to Valentine's Day to Horny Werewolf Day. So you can just install this plugin, and if you're one of those people that doesn't like Valentine's Day, or you just want to be amused by seeing Horny Werewolf Day show up, which is what I did, you can install that plugin. So I imagine just Google Horny Werewolf Day, and you'll probably find references to it.
Yep. What's kind of like those ones that, like, what was it? Turned something into skeletons, or like...
There was the one, the YouTube one, that turned all the YouTube comments into herp.
Yeah. Then there was one that was like translated political correctness as treating people with dignity.
Yes, I remember that one. That was a good one. Okay, so Warren Ellis wrote on February 14th, 2008, Valentine's Day is a Christian corruption of a pagan festival involving werewolves, blood, and fucking. So wish people a happy Horny Werewolf Day and see what happens. So there we go. And there was somebody made some cards that you could send out that basically said that. And of course, you know, there's the plugin also. So have a happy Horny Werewolf Day.
Yep.
Which is just next week, about 5 days from now. I think it's like Tuesday. Lupercalia.
Ah, yes.
It was the holy day of Lupercus, Roman god of planting seeds, orgies, and werewolves. Seriously.
Fuck yeah.
Nice. And I found that because someone has actually written a book called Horny Werewolf Day.
It's good to me.
It is, of course, probably an erotica or a romance or something. But maybe worth checking out. What I've been spending my time on lately is reading and for planet stuff. I don't know if you saw some of my tweets about it, but we've posted the cover art for one of our upcoming anthologies. It's called Bleak Horizons. It is a sci-fi horror anthology.
Yeah, I saw the cover for it. It's like it's a furry in a spacesuit pointing a gun at something.
Shooting a gun at, like, there's like tentacles and black writhing shit around them and stuff. So, Voice edited it. He also edited Abandoned Places, which came out a couple years ago. That's actually a genre I really like, sci-fi horror, stuff like Event Horizon and Aliens, things like that. I guess Aliens is more of an action sci-fi, but the first Alien is definitely more sci-fi horror.
And yeah, Roar 8 is, well, not done, but the editor has made all of the selections. And we've come up with a theme for Roar 9, so we're going to do Resistance as the theme for Roar 9. Oh, there's also, speaking of werewolves, there's a magazine called Werewolves Versus, and it's always werewolves versus some kind of concept.
Yeah.
So the one that will be coming out soon is Werewolves Versus Space, which will be interesting. But the next one they're doing is Werewolves Versus Fascism.
Werewolves on the Moon. It's always a full moon there.
Then all the proceeds from the fascism issue go to the ACLU.
Yeah.
And a couple authors I know got into Werewolves versus Space. Well, I mean,
there was a funny thing. It was like Werewolves versus Fascism Pizza Party had more people show up than a pro-Trump protest in Portland or whatever.
Yeah.
More people went to the fucking ball pit at Dash Con.
Yeah.
There was like 9 people in the ball pit. Mm-hmm. There's 8 people at this little protest. And there's a...
What are you giggling about?
I forget what his name is. Basically, MK2 is like, also, isn't saying see you in court to a bunch of judges redundant? Like, of course you'll see them there. That's where they work.
Yep.
Also, Swift on Security brings up something important. If Trump doesn't believe birth certificates, how is he going to know who to deport? But yeah, you've got the new lesbian one.
Yes.
I don't know if you talked about it last week, but I know you should bring it up again. Because you should, because lesbians are.
Okay, so for many years we've had Fang, which is a male-male erotica anthology. And we've had the non-adult book Roar that's in the same vein, basically. So we're starting up a third anthology in that series to be published under the Bad Dog Books imprint that we're calling Claw. And it'll be female-female erotica short stories. And I have found an actual woman to edit it. She offered, so cool. And we're looking, actually, we really want to feature female writers as well. Not saying that male writers can't contribute, but we really want to push female writers, lesbian stories. This is sort of like your area to kind of put your stuff out there, you know? So that's the guidelines on that are on baddogbooks.com. Go to the blog and you'll find the post on there. Probably a couple posts back by now. And that is hopefully coming out. I believe we're aiming for AC 2018, which will give us a bit over a year to go through the whole anthology cycle. It does take that long for people to write stories, edit stories, put all the book together and stuff.
And approve it and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Another thing that we haven't discussed that is appropriate for the month is Furry Black History Month.
Oh,
Dusk is Dusk Sargent. Follow him and what?
What do you
is
mean?
Is he an author?
No,
no.
He's a deer. He didn't start it. Though.
He didn't. Who? I don't know who started it. I've been seeing him tweet about it a lot, and I'm like, that's actually something we haven't talked about.
Shy Matsy started it. He's shy_Matsy MATSI on Twitter.
That sounds real familiar.
He is a New Jersey fur. He's been very active in the community out there. He's been organizing meets forever. He also runs a couple of furry social media sites. I think Furries Extreme or Furry Extreme is one of them.
This dude?
Yep, that's him.
Okay, yeah. I've seen the character.
Yep.
But
the character is he's gray wolf with rainbow head fur. And I've seen plenty of art of him. But he's African American, and February is Black History Month. So he came up with the idea of, hey, we should celebrate the furries that are black.
Yeah.
And because we have a lot of diversity in our fandom, it doesn't seem like it. And I tweeted this that back when I first joined the fandom, it was almost completely white male, which is true of a lot of geek spaces, really. Yeah. But as time has gone by, it's become more and more diverse. More women have been coming into the fandom. More people of other races have been coming in. And that's kind of cool to see. Black people were really, really rare
back in the day, like there was probably like two at the first con that I went to.
I don't know how I got. I know how I got Jacoby and Dust Argent confused because they both have deer ants.
Oh, Jacoby's okay. Jacoby's a jackalope. Dusk is
thinking antlers.
Right.
I'm thinking of people by their fursonas.
Yes.
I'm a total furbag. Yes. And so I'm just like, I know I've seen people tweeting about that. I've seen Jacoby, and I've been retweeting some of the stuff he's tweeted.
Mm-hmm.
But
Jacoby's a writer. That's, yeah, that's who
you're, that was just,
that's who you're thinking
of. That was
of.
My disconnect okay. there. Dust. Are you saying that antler critters look alike? No, shit.
Yeah, I know, right? I tend to think of people of their fursonas as well, which is actually sort of useful in my diversity. It's sort of like a pleasant surprise to discover that I have diversity, because when I get stories, I'm just like, this is by a wolf, this is by a rabbit, this is by, like, a deer.
You know, it's one of those things where, like, you don't have the unconscious bias of this person's got a weird name, you know, and that's a very white thing to say, I understand.
Yeah.
But that way it's like, oh, it's a something wolf. All right, whatever. Read their story. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is great. And it doesn't matter who they are. Like, well, it doesn't really matter in terms of, you're like, you're not going to judge the story by anything but its merits.
Right. Yeah. So sort of frees you up that it, within in the story and outside the story, the whole furry thing kind of frees you of the human racial and sexual issues. Which is one of the things that's kind of neat to play with when you're writing furry characters and you want to deal with prejudices and things like that, which is something Zootopia did very well. But it's the hashtag Furry Black History Month is like, I was luckily seeing only the positives of it because I was following people that were retweeting the good stuff, which was black furries posting pictures of themselves and in and out of suit and their characters and being like, I'm black, I'm a furry, I'm an artist or a fursuiter or, you know, whatever they're into. But apparently there was like, I made the mistake of searching the tag.
You looked at the hashtag. I looked at the hashtag. Fucking anime avatars.
And then I found all the fucking people like, ugh, kill me now. Why is this a thing? Furries are so gross. And they were either people that were anti-furry or people that were racists.
Or both.
Or both. They either hated black people or furries or both. And it was just like, wow, there's a lot of... There were some people that were genuinely like, okay, it's cool, but why? And like, that was, you know, okay, that's not actively negative. And some people actually did go out of their way to be like, okay, here's why this is a cool thing.
And actually, Vex Stacy Art... actually made a post on it.
Oh, okay.
Because I was look as I saw Jacoby retweet it, and I was like, why Furry Black History Month is a thing? Some people are really supportive. You're amazing, and the following isn't directed at you. However, there have been hateful comments and tweets in this hashtag, so here's what I have to say. To those of you confused, upset that furries are interjecting themselves into everything, i.e. why put a furry in front of it, I've got news for you. There are black people who are furries. Get over it. That doesn't make us any less black, and we are choosing to celebrate two things about ourselves at once. Black furries aren't the fandom majority. Some of us really like to be able to find and connect with each other. The hashtag has helped many to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the fandom's most impactful artists are black, making their mark on history of their own way, adding new styles, ideas, and creativity into the fandom. And just one more reason for hashtag Furry Black History. Did you know hashtag 28 black days of cosplay is a thing? Crazy! People wanting to celebrate themselves and their fandoms. Now, if your reasons for confusion weren't answered above, you can reply to this like a civil human being and maybe I can help. However, I can't help bigotry or closed-mindedness. If your reason is you furries because you don't have the mental capacity to grasp that a person as a fandom is still a person, then you can fuck right off. If your reason is racist in and of itself, well, I'm sure I don't need to show you the door. I will not entertain hate and will block people spewing such on the spot. Thanks for reading. Stay proud, stay supportive, stay strong, be positive. So, that was, I saw that and I'm like, that's good. Did I retweet that? I know I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Shabby and pedestrian and you, it looks like. It's like, it's one of those things where it's like, did I retweet that? I think I did. But yeah, it's just one of those things where...
It was nice to actually see, like, a positive hashtag for a change. Especially one around furries and or race to pop up and be, like, a positive thing. And I actually saw some comments like, wow, I checked this hashtag with fear and ready to be angry. It was like, oh, no, wait, no, it's actually it's genuine.
It's like, actually, people being... positive and happy and
yeah,
like being proud of who they are. Good.
That's a very good thing. Speaking of other things that have been a nice breath of fresh air in the world was the Super Bowl. Not necessarily the results of the Super Bowl or watching the Super Bowl itself. Just the fact that the Super Bowl existed basically filled up Twitter with Super Bowl tweets and like shoved all the politics out of my life for like a day.
For about 5 hours.
Like nobody was talking about politics for like the whole Sunday night.
There were a lot of good ads. There were some pretty decent ones.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
well, Guardians of the Galaxy dropped a new 30-second trailer.
Then there was the actual, like, socially conscious ones, like Budweiser's.
Yeah.
There was, like, a new Nintendo Switch commercial. So,
the funniest thing about the Budweiser thing is fucking idiots started a boycott Budweiser hashtag, and they misspelled Budweiser. They left out the E in Weiser. Nice. And I'm like, because it's a German word, so they can't fucking spell it right. I'm just fucking amused that, like, they couldn't even fucking spell with the thing that they're boycotting.
Yeah, and the thing is, InBev, they own the vast majority of the, like, regular beer that's widely available.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they, like, oh, are you going to pour your Budweiser down the drain and buy Coors? Well.
They own Coors, too, right?
Yeah, they own Sam Adams. They own a lot of... Mm-hmm. What people think might be craft, but isn't actually craft brewery. They own a shitload of breweries and different beers. Actually, that's because like we're lucky in that here in Texas and here in DFW, we've got a fuckload of good local breweries that make really good locally available stuff. From like you can go to their tap room. And yet they fresh from the still.
Just stick your face underneath the thing.
They don't let you get behind the counter to do that, but I would. Just pour it down my throat, bitches. I'm looking up InBev just to be like who they own because they own a lot. But something that's really, really fucking cool here in Dallas, Bishop Cider Co. owns a place called the Cidercade. It's a barcade owned by Bishop Cider Co. that's near downtown off of Irving Boulevard, near downtown Dallas. And it's like the Free Play Arcade that's in Richardson, and there's one in Arlington now. But it's Bishop Cider Co. turned their tap room into a all ages before 8 p.m. all you can play arcade that also has their in-house cider brewery and all that fun stuff. So you can get stuff fresh, basically, and co-play video games all day for $10. Well, you can't get – you have to buy the cider, obviously.
Right.
But, like, you can totally get the taproom experience and also play some video games. And I found out about that just recently. And I'm like, mind fucking blown. Yeah. You can go out to East Richardson, I think it is. Or maybe North Garland, I'm not sure. But it's on that side of town, like far east Dallas.
Yeah.
And go to the Lakewood Tap Room. Lakewood Brewery does Temptress and a bunch of other really good stuff. They're one of my favorite local brews. But there's just a tap room. Like, you go in, it's like $10. They do a tour of their basically one large room.
I can't help but think of, like, I'm just like... the bathroom fixtures aisle at Home Depot, the tap room.
Well, it's not quite like that, but it does. They do have like basically a wall of their cooling vests, and they have like basically spigots straight off the fucker. It's great. And it's like $10. You get a glass and you get four tickets and get four pint glasses of whatever off the wall that they got. So you get drunk as shit for $10. It's great. Well, I get drunk as shit for $10. That's just me, though.
Because you have a stomach like a thimble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All that alcohol getting to my system raw. Woo! So that's fun. So going
you're back, like, just pour it in my ass.
See what? Oh.
Butt chugging.
Yeah. I want to taste this stuff. So, okay. So InBev is a brewing company that is the merger between a Belgian company, Interbrew, and Belgian brewer AmBev, which takes place in 2004. Then it bought Anheuser-Busch in 2008. That formed Anheuser-Busch InBev. abbreviated AB InBev. InBev has operations in 30 countries and sales in over 130. So then they bought Anheuser-Busch in 2008. They also I'm trying to find so
list of subsidiaries or something.
They maker of Budweiser and Michelob with Stella Artois, Bass, and Brahma. And then they got some British shit. They got Miller Coors. And then they have – oh, in 2016, Anheuser acquired competitor Sab Miller for £69 billion, 107 billion U.S. Sab Miller ceased trading on global stock markets. The new company now Anheuser-Busch InBev /SA/NV – say that – subsequently sold the Miller Coors beer company to Molson Coors and sold many of the European brands to Aishi Brewery. God. Okay, brands. InBev has over 2,000 beer brands produced and sold throughout the world. They also make Corona, which is made. Jesus Christ. So the brands, like, basically anything that is available in multiple states in most cases is Anheuser-Busch. Best Damn Root Beer, Anheuser-Busch. Blue Star in Canada. I'm scrolling down the list here, and I'm just kind of impressed because all the Budweiser brands, obviously, Bud Light, Busch, going down Corona outside of the U.S. I'm looking here because there's basically just shitloads of stuff that you don't expect to be like, oh, this is made by a global beer conglomerate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's your thing, it doesn't make it any less valid as a beer. It's a lot cheaper generally, but still. They have stuff in China. They have stuff in Brazil, Bulgaria, Russia.
Is it like the Coca-Cola company owns like a fuckload of different beverages as well?
Yeah, all the Labatt beers. Löwenbräu in Germany.
Löwenbräu.
Michelob. All the Michelob. wait. Michelob Ultra Lime Cactus.
Huh.
What the fuck? Natural Light. Oh, so you can get your Natty Ice. Your natty shit.
I'm gonna boycott Budweiser and drink Natty Light. Oh, did they do PBR? That'd be hilarious.
I'm almost down to the P's. Let's see. They do not. Aw, what a shame. They have Rolling Rock, which is another low end weird.
Yeah.
Shock Top Spaten? Really? Huh. That's strange. They're a major supporter of the Oktoberfest here in Addison.
Oh.
Spaten. I mean,
it sounds German.
It is. Figure. German brand. Stella Artois. Yep. So basically, if you're going to boycott
Budweiser,
if you're going to boycott Budweiser and it's an InBev brand, you're not going to have a lot of choices.
Mm-hmm.
Because more often than not, a lot of local breweries are not going to be conservative shiphold either.
No, not really. I mean, Lakewood's been extremely pro-gay.
Yeah.
The Saucer's been very pro-gay. I mean, not that they're a brewery, but just as far as the beer thing goes.
Yep. It's like, odds are you're not going to find too many beer places that are not going to be like...
Well, it's just companies in business these days, like, they're mostly pretty progressive.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say more often than not.
And you know, when they aren't, they learn hard.
That being racist or homophobic is just bad for business.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, the Chamber of Commerce and all, like, the business organizations are against doing a bathroom bill in Texas.
Yeah.
Because they're like, this is really bad for business. And they're about business. And they're like, you're going to hurt our economy by doing this.
You're going to hurt Austin. You're going to hurt Houston. You're going to hurt Dallas.
You know, Dallas it worked out so fucking great for South Carolina, you know? Yeah.
And there's a lot more people in Texas that would be affected by that.
Yeah.
Like, both victims and just businesses in general.
We have, like, so many IT companies in Texas between Dallas and Austin.
Yeah.
In particular. Well,
credit card processors, all these other major companies. Dallas is a major, major spot for, like, business filming and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's lots of shit that just – it's done in Texas.
Yeah.
And so you'd have a lot of pushback.
Yeah. I mean, even for a conservative state, it's actually really amazing.
So the conservative parts are everything that's not a city.
Yeah.
So the shithole parts of the state.
Which is actually pretty much countrywide.
Yeah. you know, the cities are what keep this country afloat, and the rural areas are the fucking leeches. In terms of
revenue. I agree with you, but at the same time, I'm like, not
charitable.
Agriculture's important.
Agriculture is important, but when it comes to, like, you know, people like, oh, the cities are fucking awful.
Dens of sin.
Us real Americans. Like, well, there's 90% of the country or something like that lives in cities. So. Mm-hmm. I forget what the actual, like.
I think it's like, it's a little over 50-50.
Really? Mm-hmm. I'll see. Urban, rural populations.
Okay. Population. I should be curious to know.
Because, let's see. See, urbanized area, urban cluster, and rural population, 2010, 80%, 81% of the current total population as of 2010 lives in urban areas.
Wow. Okay. Higher than I thought.
That was the 2010 census.
Yeah.
So, urbanized areas of at least 50,000 or more people, urban clusters of at least 2,500 and less than 50,000. So of that number, basically, urbanized areas, basically anything that's 50,000 people plus.
Hmm.
And then urban clusters are 2,500 to 50,000 people. So, like, Cleburne,
mm-hmm.
maybe, is an urban cluster.
I wouldn't really call that urban, per se.
But still, of basically population, 81% essentially as of 7 years ago.
Majority of people live in an area with more than one traffic light.
Yep. So it is A, 9 p.m. and B, we've now gone for an hour 15. We should stop and save.
Okay.
Be right back. And we're back. We had to take a quick look at Donald J. Trumpy Paws.
Yes. That's my one horrible thing.
That's your one horrible thing of the week. Your one horrible thing.
Follow the Twitter account Trumpy Paws, which is Trump's fursona account.
Yep. he's a Sorgle, because of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a shame how, like, one person's weird ass thing has become like, why are all the circles Nazis? I don't know.
I just thought that they were like bricks of cheese and aircraft carriers.
It's like how to capture a Sorgle. You put down a cheese wheel with a wedge missing. Stick
their head in. Yes. It's so cute.
There was an animated GIF. Like, did someone say Vor? And like, it's a Sorgle behind someone going with its mouth open. Like, yes, somebody said Vor. Not really.
Mm-hmm.
So, random aside, apparently, this was a surprise and news to me. So, the movie Trolls, right? The cutesy, sparkly-haired doll toy movie that everyone was like, yeah. What the fuck? I think imagination put it out. It's about Vor.
What?
The movie is cutesy, but the backstory is about Vor.
Go on.
So, the movie, it's set in a fantasy world where trolls and ogres live,
mm-hmm.
ogres being horrible, brutish things, and trolls being the cutesy little spiked-up hair toys, where ogres can't feel happiness or joy or anything.
They're a lot like me.
But then they found out if they eat a troll, they can feel happy for a day.
Oh, fuck.
This has resulted in a near genocide of the trolls. And the movie's gist is apparently, like, the main character trolls trying to fight against the ogres
mm-hmm.
and survive and not be eaten. It is a movie about Vor.
Wow. Okay.
I had paid zero attention to that. Vor is not my thing. But a friend of mine watched that and was like, yeah, that really surprised me just how dark that backstory is. It's a feel-good movie, but the backstory is ultra dark. Huh. So if that is your thing, maybe you should check it out. So, there's your fetish tip of the week.
Tip of the week.
Tip of the week. Insert a sick. It's like, hey, do you like fetish of the week? Check out Thing. Do you like cute lesbian family adventures? Watch Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid. Anime lesbian of the week. Of the week. Of the week. That's hard to do. Anyways, so we do have a couple emails this week, a couple Tumblr notes. You can always contact us, knockcast@foxduffers.com. You can hit us up at notcast.com. It takes you to our Tumblr, and you can send us anonymous asks that way. We got a few things this week. It's everyone's kind of off doing their own thing, and hopefully this week's conversation will spark some emails.
Our Tumblr is the best Tumblr. Our ass box is huge.
So big.
So big.
We have so many...
So many likes. So
many porn bots following us. I'm sure. I haven't looked.
We have the best bots. You won't believe it.
Oh, foo. We do have that question. It's like, hey, what was the artist you mentioned on 336, the Utopia stuff? And I was like,
I was sure that
we discussed it last week, but I didn't. Wasn't able to dig up the name.
But I thought you mentioned it on the episode that originally came up. No, it was
I know, but I probably mangled the words because I can't English good.
Oh.
Words are hard. So I'm going to just read this one.
Okay.
This first one. So this one's titled Returning to My Roots. Hello, Naughty Notcast. Cookie again, writing in from my bedroom at 2 a.m. I should be sleeping. I've been having a bit of struggle with something. I'm trying to get back to my roots as a cartoonist. My mate, who I unexpectedly turned him into a furry, has been wanting me to go back into doing this for a while, and I promised him I'd do so and keep it going when he gets back from basic training for the U.S. Army. I don't know if any of y'all are artists anyway, but there's a set of questions. What's the best way of jumping back into the world of drawing? What's the best way to receive commission money? And stuff like PayPal, a secure way of doing so. I love your show, and y'all guys are awesome. From your friendly neighborhood Fox Dragon, Cookie Fox Dragon. P.S. for Fuzz saying, a hybrid. A wolf.
Wolves are awesome! So,
the biggest deal that I've seen, and this is saying as somebody who's not really an artist, like, I used to draw a lot, and then I stopped. And, you know, Shiva used to draw a lot in real life.
I could be an artist, but I don't wanna.
Yeah, it's one of those things where... It is something that I kind of wish I should get back into doing, right?
Because, yeah.
Like, I could totally do it. I did have a problem with hand trimmers for a while, which made drawing traditionally very difficult.
Oh, trimmers. I thought you said hand trimmers.
No, that trimmers, was like my hands are unsteady.
Oh, okay.
With, like, pencil, so traditional media was difficult.
Right.
But anyways, that's what scanners and digital editing is for.
Mm.
Anyways, basically what you do is... Get yourself a sketchbook, and you draw something every day. Right now, there is a hashtag Fapuary, F-A-P-U-A-R-Y.
It's not what you're thinking.
Not what you think. It's called – it's fill a page for February, and it's the goal is to fill a page in a sketchbook with sketches daily for the month of February to get back in the habit of doing it. Yeah. And basically draw butts, draw cute – cartoon horses, draw cookie dragons, draw something.
Mm-hmm.
Get into the habit of drawing on the regular and getting better at it, or at least practice. Because, I mean, you know, it's not an instant thing. You're going to be rusty. You got to knock the rust off, get back to drawing what you want to draw, and get into the habit of doing it. It takes like 3 weeks to get a habit.
Sorry.
What?
I'm just looking at your statues here, and I was looking at the chrysalis, and all I could think was,
yeah. So I should just get a little paper word bubble and put it over her.
Yeah.
Just, yo, BronyCon, I get what you're saying, but
I'm a child. Anyway, go on.
I need to get ink for my printer, but I could totally like print that out and then tape it to the wall over her, take a photo and send it to BronyCon. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
So basically, what you do? You start doing it, and you keep doing it.
Yeah.
So, like, the goal? Take a page in your sketchbook. Fill it full of doodles for the day. Cookie dragons, dicks, butts, whatever. Just start. There's, hell, even on 4chan's comics and cartoon thread, there's a daily thread. It's, like, daily drawing thread. And their opening image is a picture of, it's Batman pointing at the viewer. It says, you, work on your webcomic. And it's basically, like, a collaborative thread where people like post their daily drawings.
Neat.
You know, it's 4chan, so they're shit posting, but you know, it's people trying to be encouraging in that anonymous image board sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
As for receiving money, PayPal's generally fine. As long as you follow the rules in how you receive money, they're very in that. In as much you're not following the rules when you receive money for adult material on PayPal, Because they're shitheads that way?
Yeah. Don't let people send you money as a gift for friends and family to avoid paying the fee, because they'll shut down your account for that. And try to make people not...
You invoice them for work for hire.
You invoice them. You don't let them send you payments...
For blah.
For blah, because if they put commission for hot furry porn in the description or something like that, they could flag that, and people have had their shit shut down.
And frozen.
One thing I never do is leave money sitting in the PayPal account.
Yeah.
Like, if you get paid for something or a couple of things, immediately transfer that out to your bank. Hell, so if they do shut you down, you don't lose a shitload of money.
I use PayPal for my convention because that's what the money from Eventzilla goes through. And like towards the end of it, I'm like shifting money out on the daily, sometimes twice, because the influx of cash is like, I ain't leaving more than $1,000 in there if I can help it.
Yeah. And that's for a con. As an individual, I would say don't leave more than like 100.
Yeah. Like right now there is $82 in the convention PayPal account because I had to log in and download my 1099-K for it. And like my personal PayPal has like $55.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else. PayPal is a secure-ish way if you invoice people. It's a lot harder for them to charge back on it, I think. Basically, if somebody wants to dick you over, they can. But it's also very, very easy for you to bury that person in the eyes of the artist market. Be like, this person, like, didn't, like, I shaded this and colored it, and they didn't like it, so they charged back. Well, guess what? That person's never going to get a commission taken, like, from a good chunk of artists, because guess what? Motherfuckers talk.
Yep.
So all it takes is them dicking over like one artist and a bunch of people will never take your money again. So don't do that, kids. And there we go. So there is a ask that you can read, Fuzz.
Okay.
Hey, all, question about long-distance meetups. My boyfriend and I have been together for 2 years and are meeting in person for the first time later this year. We already know each other well, but part of me wonders if things will get awkward due to such a long time apart. I trust that I know him personally, but not just his persona, but part of me still worries. Any suggestions? Love the show and hope you guys continue to make many more. Your friendly fuzzy ferret Braid.
Oh, I thought you were going to...
I was going to let you talk first.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me read...
You read the email.
...digest this here. You know, that's a perfectly natural reaction and concern to have. You know, my first boyfriend I met online, and unlike with Tyrion, I had not met him in person previously, and there was, like, I'd say, you know, you definitely want to exchange photos, maybe do a video call or something like that. It's a lot easier now than it was way back in the day to do webcam, Skype, something like that. Maybe not with face rig, you know.
Are you implying that face rig doesn't really give you a good view of your boyfriend?
Maybe not a realistic one.
Aw, but I want to be an androgynous fox lady that could also pass for a dude.
Don't we all?
But she's so cute.
Kind of like Dharma from Rock Dogs. Have you seen
that
character? Yeah,
I've seen Ludes, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised they're already out, even though the movie's not out yet.
It's like people give her tits, and I'm like, but she very obviously doesn't.
No, she has a little bump.
But
she doesn't have huge tits.
That's like putting huge tits on Judy.
I was just saying that. She's like a Judy level of chest, I guess.
Anyways.
But she's kind of cute. You know, that, like I said, that's perfectly natural, and you shouldn't really worry about it. Just accept that you're going to be a little bit nervous. He's probably going to be just as nervous meeting you for the first time. I know you're going to stress about it because that's what people do in that situation, but don't stress about it would be my advice. Anything to add, Severn?
Well, I would also say if you're meeting for the first person, first time, or like literally meeting for the first time ever, do yourself a favor, meet somewhere public, stay at a hotel, not their house.
Mm.
Like, don't be like, I'm moving across the country to meet my boyfriend and stay forever.
Mm-hmm.
I trust you're smarter than that. Basically, just do take any standard precaution that you would for meeting a stranger the first time. Because, yes, you've talked on the phone, you've talked over Skype, you've seen pictures of each other, et cetera, et cetera. But that doesn't translate into physical chemistry, which really sucks. Like, it's entirely possible that you two have great chemistry online, but in physical reality, you don't hit it off. And that sucks when that happens. But I would say, A, don't focus on it too much, and B, keep it in mind that it is a possibility.
Yeah.
Just take the measures you would to protect yourself in any other reasonable circumstance, and hopefully it'll be a happy ending and you have fun and you get laid and you end up deciding, hey, you're going to meet and stay together and yada yada, and you can make plans for a future together.
And it's time to rent that moving truck.
Yes. And it's not the second date.
Right.
So, I mean, like, I've done that a couple times. Or it's like an LDR kind of thing. You meet in person, you have great chemistry, you make out, it's great. Doesn't work out after the fact. Or you think you have decent chemistry, you meet the person, and in person you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had both happen. But, you know, whatever. That's life. That's just my advice on it.
Yeah.
And we have one more.
Yep.
Where is it?
Your turn.
Card games on Knots. So, yo, Knotcast. Boy, it's been a rough week politically, hasn't it? I'm writing this on a Monday, but I bet by the time you read this, the question's answer will be a resounding yes.
Yeah. Bigly.
But, you know, some good stuff, too.
Yeah.
Well, it's good in the it's not as horrific as it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not here to talk about harder politics.
Just right quick. There is a Twitter account that is a bot. It literally just tweets number of days Trump has been able to launch a nuclear strike but hasn't. And it just counts 21. The days of his pregnancy.
That's the worst 9 months of our lives.
Oh, his presidency.
So if we get him out before 9 months, is it an abortion?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We aborted him, sent him to Russia. They didn't want him. Send him to the moon. Got him out of a cannon into the sun. Fuck him so hard. Anyways, I'm not here to talk about hardcore politics, at least not directly. I just wanted to touch on something Saverin said last week about there are a lot of parallels to real world war in anime. And while I can't make a chart regarding that, I did want to bring up two examples that popped up in a slightly odd place. First, the anime Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc V, and yes, I'm talking about card games, but I won't go too heavy into it since I want Fuzz to stay conscious, especially if he's the one reading this. Well, good thing he's not. Anyways, example one comes from when they're traveling dimensions and arrive in what's referred to as a synchro dimension. Its existence is basically a Bernie Sanders talking point, not in a derisive way. Its state was described as the top 1% living in luxury while the rest of the 99% live in squalor. It may sound heavy-handed, but it's based on a previous anime series, Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds, or more well-known as Card Games on Motorcycles. It's Yu-Gi-Oh!'s 20th anniversary, you see, so nostalgia is in high demand. Getting back on point, in that city, there's a character named Shinji who feels a lot like an allegory for both Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump if they were fused together. He wants the oppressed, to stand up for themselves, but he wants to incite a riot to do so. Very literally destroy and throw over the government. These episodes were aired during the heat of the primaries, and it felt like they were trying to be topical. The second example is more of a name drop. The heroes travel dimensions again to the main antagonist dimension and face off against five of the top-ranked duelists, one of whom is named Bernie and the other named Ted. Adding on to the former, their instructor name is Sanders, though he's nothing like Senator Sanders in the slightest, and sadly, Bernie doesn't get enough screen time to notice any differences. The other students are named Jacob, Ethan, and Emma, though I don't recall if they're based on anybody. Either way, it's basically five protagonists versus the American political scene, and to draw that parallel even further, in the midst of the battle royal, there's a wild-card rogue duelist, the codename the Battle Beast. He's basically a human gone feral, acting on instinct and attacking anyone he sees on sight, be they friend or foe. He ends up defeating the five antagonists before the heroes can and becomes a big bad for the arc. Given the way the election unfolded, I can't help but draw similarity.
Yeah.
In other non-political news, Dragon Ball Super got a new opening last week, and Super Shonen features Goku wailing on a wolf furry. Apparently, he does not approve of the wolves howling agenda. It's neat. That's all I've got. Anyway, that's my spiel on anime and card games. I hope to entertain you guys, even if it's a little reminder of our political climate. But hey, sometimes you got to find something to laugh at. It's good for the soul. Until next time, Fortune Otter. So I will tell you, another anime that's actually surprisingly good is the new Pokemon Sun Moon anime. It's really cute. And so that's...
And that's all the time we have.
No. Yep. No, it's, you know, Team Rocket finally beat Ash fair and square. Took them 20 goddamn years, but they beat him in a duel fair and square, but then got...
Did they kill him?
No.
Oh.
Mimikyu was totally going to fucking kill him, but they got stopped.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Is Team Rocket still Jesse and James?
Yeah, still Jesse and James. They've been at it for 20 years. Ash is still 10. You know, it's
just like Bart Simpson.
Yeah, they're in the weird time warp dimension.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're still... After, like, I think at this point they don't really report to anybody. It's just them. It's entirely possible that just Jesse and James are like legacy. We're still Team Rocket, damn it. It's just us. But fuck it. We're still doing it.
They got kicked out of the organization years and years ago, but they're like, we're finally going to fuck over Ash.
Yeah. And, like, they still have, like, still the Wobbuffet, which they've had for fucking ever. But
they still have Meowth?
Yeah. But I think they're right now, they're.
Cool.
Being held captive by a bear Pokemon called a Beware or something like that, which is basically a giant werebear that'll hug people to death.
Fuck.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. It's,
that sounds like some furry's dreams.
Yeah. It's its description in Pokemon Sun Moon is that, like, it loves to hug people. And so it.
Sometimes it goes too far.
Yes. It literally says that sometimes it kills its trainer.
Wow.
By hugging it to death.
Mm-hmm. I just love you so much.
Or, I think you're a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon. Who would have thought, right?
Yeah.
It's still going. It's still a thing that will never stop being a thing. Ever.
I'm okay with that. There's worse shows that have gone on.
Yeah. I mean, and really, in the grand scheme of things, it's still behind things like, I think, Naruto and One Piece and Detective Conan. Because those are... shows that have been going for fucking ever. Episodes of Pokemon. Let's see. List of Pokemon episodes, seasons 1 to 13. Episodes 14 to current. There's two separate, Jesus Christ. So.
This Wikipedia entry is too complicated to read.
Yeah, I'm just trying to feel like how number of episodes. List of all the main series episodes.
Does okay, Google.
Just say.
How many episodes of Pokemon are there? She's taking a minute.
She's like,
okay.
A fuckload.
955 plus.
Movies.
And 19 movies.
Jesus. Really? That's more than certain anime.
Yeah.
Well.
Google pulls it right from Wikipedia.
Why can't you do that? Like. Number of episodes of One Piece.
You know what's funny? Speaking of phone assistants, the other day Ajax was leaving for work and he goes, Siri, how fucking cold is it out there? And Siri replied, do you kiss your mother with that mouth? And he goes, God damn it. And he had to like restate the question without the swear.
It just says episodes ongoing. Well, that doesn't fucking help me. Basically, anime, man.
How many episodes of One Piece are there? I just want to see if she can do it.
Digital assistants are pretty cool.
Now she just pulls up the summary. It's on season 18 right now, and it just grabbed list of One Piece episodes. Crunchyroll listed
as being episodes 700 to current. So I bet if I pulled it up on my app.
Maybe.
Let's see.
Savage and Fuzz play with their phones.
One Piece. There are... Fuck. Season 1. And they have episode 1. That doesn't help. There's a lot of
episodes. It's 118 episodes, it says here.
Really?
Maybe that's... I wonder if that's just in the season that it pulled up.
This one says 986 videos.
Yeah, I bet it's 100 and something just in the one season that it defaulted to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the season before that has 50.
Okay, well, anyways...
Interesting.
It's kind of crazy that shit's been going on that long. But then again, we have Simpsons over here. Anyways, we're old, I guess. We get to be like, Jesus Christ, remember watching the first season of that? That was kind of cool.
I remember watching the first season of Pokemon.
I mean, Mewtwo just had its birthday. It was born on February 2nd. It's now like 22. Yeah.
I'm looking.
Mewtwo can legally drink in the U.S.
God. Oh, here, the main One Piece article. There's 774 episodes.
Huh, okay. All right, well,
on that note, good night, Big Paul. Table flip.
Yeah, it's like Pokemon and anime.
Yes.
And furries.
And meme.
Politics and dragon lesbians.
Mm-hmm.
Our reality is so weird. So, you can always find me on Twitter at Saverin Drake. You can find me on YouTube at justthefox.com. I'm going to post that video about that weird claymation game here this week. Oh, yeah.
Sounds cool.
And then I really need to resurrect my Twitch channel. I was doing so well for a while, and reality punched me in the balls. So twitch.tv/Saverin. Fuzz.
I'm on Twitter as Fuzzwolf. Very easy to find there. I'm active there most of the time. That's really the only place I really am. You can, if you're interested in the furry publishing stuff I do, our print side is For Planet, at For Planet on Twitter or forplanet.com. We have an ebook site. It is baddogbooks.com. It's also Bad Dog Books on Twitter.
You can find all the new book stuff from there.
More books.
Also, we do have our Patreon, patreon.com/notcast. Buck an episode, buck a month, whatever, man. We really appreciate any support y'all give our way. Really appreciate it. And also right now, adameve.com, our coupon code NOT gets you the good deal, 50% off on item plus free shipping, I think, until the 14th.
Ah, oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And hey, woo, furry fiesta, the next con. Yeah,
45 days away last. It was, that was actually a few 43. Days ago. 43.
I have a counter on my phone.
Nice. Yeah. I
have to do that. Like, I reset it for every con, what the next con is, just for planet planning purposes.
Well, Hath was telegramming, like, if you put this formula into Excel, you can see just how many days are left. The answer, 45. As of when he posts that. And then just like, So on that night, on that note, good night. And